Caleb Horn. Welcome back to the show, man.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Just glad to have you back on here, especially on such short notice. You're just ready yes. to go.
But no, I'm really, really excited. It'll be good. The shorter notice, the better, honestly, in my opinion.
Did Einstein say that, or who said that?
I think it was Plato, actually.
Ah, okay. My second guess was Abraham Lincoln. Okay.
That would have been a good one.
Okay. We're off to a great start. Okay.
Yes,
so
we're
talking about just finding God in the day-to-day. And I think that you're pretty good at this, so I wanted to have you on, and especially being a college student, you have many opportunities to find God. Last time you were on, we talked about some opportunities where you don't necessarily see God and how you can kind of bring God to those places. But we have opportunities to see God every day in our lives. And so I just want to start out by asking, why should we be looking for God in our day-to-day lives? Why not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, when we worship, when it's really easy, when we're around other Christians, why should we be looking for God every other day of the week?
Well, Tyler, this is a great topic, and I'm really excited to be back on talking about it, especially after last time, and talking about, you know, some of those ways that living the Christian life can be difficult. I'm really excited to be back on today. And kind of not necessarily talk the contrary, but somewhat talk the contrary to that point on how we can, you know, really embrace that lifestyle of Christian living and look for God every day. And before I say anything, just allow me to say happy birthday to you over there. Is it 22 now? Is that what
Thank
it is?
You. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just don't wow. sing the Taylor Swift song and we'll all be good.
I don't know about you. No, happy
but
birthday.
Thank you.
Man.
I appreciate it. Appreciate
excited
it.
To be back. But, you know, back on topic, I think there's a lot of ways that we can look for God in our everyday life. And before I really get into those ways that we can, I want to talk about why it's important a little bit that we do. You know, Christianity, it's not just a Sunday and Wednesday type of deal. Christianity isn't just going to a building on Sunday morning and worshiping with fellow believers. Christianity is a lifestyle that you live, right? What we read in the Bible and what we see portrayed throughout the Old and New Testament, we can clearly see that Christianity is more than just meeting up with some people on a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. Christianity in and of itself is a lifestyle and it's a commitment and it's a relationship between you and God. And I don't know about you. I mean, we're both recently engaged, right? We don't just go and see Addie and Lindsay on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, right? It takes a lot more than that in order to foster a good, healthy relationship. And in the same way that relationship is that we have with respectively Addie and Lindsay, our relationship with God requires the same type of commitment. And so that's why we must look for God every day and everything that we do is because Christianity isn't just a two-time-a-week deal. You know, it's a lifetime commitment and it's a lifetime relationship and a commitment to that relationship in and of itself. So that's why it's so important that we look for God everywhere. But there's a lot of different ways to do that. And this point might be a little bit silly, but in traditional Caleb style, have you ever noticed the effect you have? Like, say your parents get a new car, and then what happens? You start seeing that car everywhere, don't you? I don't know if this has happened to you, but it's definitely happened to me. My mom, she got a red Ford Fusion, and I don't think I'd ever seen a red Ford Fusion before that. But after she got it, man, I was seeing
you
them
saw them
everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere. And I think the same thing can happen with our relationship with God. And I think it all starts with prayer. If we wake up every morning and we ask God to work through us every single day to work for his kingdom, we'll start to see him in more and more places and work through us in more different ways in our lives. It all starts with our mindset. If our mind is focused on doing the right things, not on earthly things, but on heavenly things, set our sights on things above is a good common way to put that. Then we'll start seeing God in more and more ways and work through various paths of our lives. You know, whether that's giving you an opportunity to talk about your relationship with God and being a Christian and what all that all the details of the Christian lifestyle that we strive to live, or simply, you know, serving others in different ways, or taking on a new role in your congregation, helping out more and more, whether that's with your youth group or more, if you're listening and you're a kid, or maybe you're older and that just looks like filling communion cups every week. The more you focus and you pray that God will work through you to do good things for his kingdom, the more opportunities that you will have to, one, serve him, but two, see him at work in your life. And so that's kind of why it's important. And one way, I think, right off the bat, that we can strive to see God and look for God every day.
Yeah, you said a lot of good things, man. And I think what I was thinking is that, you know, our minds kind of immediately go to prayer when it comes to spending time with God. And I think that that's right. I think that that's, you know, obviously, you know, the place to start. But you were talking about, you know, how, you know, you want to spend time with God throughout your whole day. You don't want to just spend time with him throughout, you know, on Sundays and Wednesdays. And I think you can spend time with him even when you're not praying, because if you are praying to see those opportunities, if you are praying to see God in your everyday life, then you'll open up your eyes and you will see God if that's what you're looking for. I mean, I think the whole point of this episode is, you know, what you're looking for, you'll find. You know, if you're looking for something, you will always find it. I did a whole sermon on this a couple months ago, and essentially, you know, I just, especially with this year, all that was going on, you know, with the election and everything, I heard a lot of just how bad things were and how negative things are. And I'm like, that's probably because you're watching the news every day. And that's what it's telling you. And they make money off of you being angry. I'm getting angry just thinking about it, so I got to stop. But like, if that's what you're seeing, if you're listening to the media screaming at you that everything is bad, that's what you're going to believe. But like, if you turn the TV off or if you turn their phone off, I've seen God here lately in just everyday life, because I've tried to notice it. I've tried to open my eyes a little more. Like when you see someone holding the door for an elderly person who can't get around very well, like they may not know it, but to you, you're like, that's God. Like all the good in the world, like who invented good, who started good, that's God. They may not know it, you know, but that's God at people's core, the core of good is God. And so I think it is important. And you know, we can't sing about, you know, a lot of songs, a lot of newer songs are very, you know, praise filled and about God's goodness. We can't sing like that on Sundays and Wednesdays and then have this pessimistic attitude in our everyday lives. That's just contradictory. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, you know, on Sundays and Wednesdays, you know, we can't praise God, you know, talk about the hope that we have in Jesus, and then live as if, you know, we don't have that hope. Yeah. And that's not to say that, like, you know, Christians can never be down, they can never have grief, they can never be, you know, depressed even. I'm not saying that, because those are very real things. But what I am saying is that, you know, we have to be a people who try to find God in our everyday lives and who are like actively seeking him. And we won't if, like you said, that's not what we're looking for. Because I use that car example as well. Like ours was a Ford Expedition because, you know, we've got such a big family and we needed the big car. So we would, you know, we would like be, you know, at the airport parking lot and we'd be like, there's a Ford Expedition, you know? And we're like, I'm like, man, I would have never cared to notice one if, you know, we didn't have one, right?
Right.
You know? And so, it, you know, or if you're driving down the highway and you're like, hey, let's play a game, notice all the white Chevy Silverados. you're going to find a lot of those because you're looking for them.
That's right. I think a good verse that I could draw to kind of summarize that is found in Deuteronomy. But of course, in Matthew 7, you've heard of the ask, seek, and knock verse. It's pretty famous. There's one in Deuteronomy, though, that corresponds directly with it. It's Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek with all your heart and with all your soul. I think that is a really good verse when it comes to trying to find God every day. Deuteronomy and Matthew 7 both tell us that if you ask to seek God, and if you're constantly looking for God in your day-to-day life, you will find him. And so that is one thing that I think is really reassuring. We know that searching for God in our day-to-day life isn't some aimless quest. You know, we will find God if our hearts and our minds are truly set on seeing him in the things that we do. And so that's really reassuring for me. No, it's not some aimless thing. It's not some aimless objective that we're trying to do. It's a relationship. If you're constantly pursuing God and he's on your mind and on your heart, you're going to find him in day-to-day life. So that's really reassuring for me.
Yeah, for sure. And just one more point on this before we move on. But, you know, I think we can be distracted, not just like intentionally distracted by worldly things and all that we have going on in our lives, like our careers and schools, but just unintentionally being distracted. Like we can come home from work or from school every day and we can think like, man, I never saw God. And it wasn't because I was like, you know, just being selfish or like not even trying, but I just forgot, you know, I just forgot. And that can be so easy. That can be so easy to do. And so I think that's why it's important. You know, obviously we should be, you know, praying and in the word, you know, anytime during the day, right? There's not a time when it's not important, but I think, you know, maybe that morning prayer of just God, help me to slow down. Help me to not think of myself as much, but help me to see you every day. Help me to see you today. That's hard to do because of how much we've got going on. But if we say that God is number one in our lives, if we really want him to be our master, if we want Jesus to be our Lord, then that's who we're going to try to see. That's who we're going to try to serve eventually. And so we're going to be looking for him every day.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly
okay,
right.
Okay. So you, I just thought that this was interesting. I think this is awesome about you. You deliver sermons, I think like almost every Sunday, right?
For a while there, it was almost every other Sunday. Now, the church that I was helping out with, because of their pulpit minister position wasn't filled, was up in Blackwell. They've just hired someone as of December 1st. So I think the last time I spoke there was the last week of November, last week of November. So yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, for a while there, for sure.
Yeah, gotcha. So you know, you've prepared sermons and you've done it like while being a college student. And I've done that before. And that's not easy because sermon prep takes a lot of time, like many hours of work, research, writing, just a lot of mental energy on top of you being, you know, a double major at OSU. So that's just crazy. But I just thought that this was kind of an interesting question to ask. How has that sermon prep, how has that helped you, you know, while being in school, how has that helped you find God every day?
That's a really good question. And honestly, something that I hadn't really considered or thought of before you said anything about it. But when I look back and reflect a little bit, it definitely has. And I think that what it really comes down to, Tyler, is that it forces you to be in the Word more. And I think that when it comes to finding God, I think a really good way to put it would be going back to the basics, if that makes sense. Serving others, praying, and reading your Bible. If you do those three things, which giving a sermon on Sunday encompasses all of those three things, you will definitely find God, and your relationship will grow with him so much, will grow so much closer to God simply by doing that and being in his word. Giving sermons and going to college at the same time and helping out in that capacity up at Blackwell was amazing. It was also, you know, quite a lot at times, especially, you know, weeks when you have multiple tests. And I did a little bit while doing set office stuff, while, you know, memorizing parts and going and visiting chapters and trying to also stay super plugged in at the UC and be helpful there in any way that I can. It is a lot. But if you really want your relationship with God to grow and you want to start seeing him more, I would say that simply just being in your Bible is one of the best ways that you can spark that, that you can kind of light that fire to look for God in several different ways. You know, one phrase that I really like, Matt Mills, he's the preacher over at the Perkins Church of Christ, a longtime supporter of the UC. He was the campus minister, co-campus minister here for a while. One of the things that I heard him say, we've been doing a Bible study with him a little bit on Monday mornings. And one thing that I heard him say is that so many times we can fixate ourselves on reading our Bibles that we forget that our Bibles are meant to read us. If that makes sense to you, that we can fixate so much on what's the history, what's the context, what points can I draw from this text, and saying, how can the Bible read me? How can the Bible refine me as a Christian in my relationship with God, my relationship with others and other Christians? How does the Bible take me and mold me and make me through God's word into the Christian that he intended for me to be? And I think that is one thing that the more you're in the Bible, the more you will start to do is let the text read you, and then therefore start seeing God more every day. And so I would say simply by being in the word more and letting the text read me instead of trying to read it so much, seeing how the text is working on me and on my heart and my relationship with God, and just simply telling other people about that, I've seen God work in so many more ways just because I've been in the word more because of the experience that I've been able to have preaching at Blackwell.
Yeah, that's really good. And you know, you're always preaching to yourself first, right? I mean, I don't mean that like in a selfish sense, but I actually heard that. I didn't hear that from a preacher. I heard that from a past national FFA officer. And I remember even like being, I think I was a senior in high school, and just being like, like that's really good. Like, you're always teaching yourself first. Like, that makes sense. So I've tried to adapt that into my preaching, because, and it seems like you have too, because there's a lot of stuff that like we need to hear, and we're always developing our lives as Christians. We're never to a point to where we've just completely arrived, right? And especially like as a college student, there's so much growth, there's so much trial and error, you know, there's a lot of that didn't work, that did work. And so, you know, being in the word constantly, and, you know, while you're going about your classes and your interactions with your friends, you know, that can't help but like influence your sermons a little bit, right? You know, you talked about, you know, being a state officer for FFA, you know, that I remember that like influencing so much of my like interactions and just the way I went about my life. It's kind of the same thing, except to an even much deeper degree, because, you know, this is what really matters. It's kind of that with your sermon prep, because, you know, whatever is on your mind and heart that week, you know, that's going to be the things that you're looking for. That's going to be the things that's on your mind, that's going to hopefully shape those interactions. You know, I started here in Ryan with a 5-week series on making other disciples. It was always on my mind, right? You know, it was always, you know, just in my heart of, you know, this interaction with the cashier, this could be a disciple making opportunity, right? And so, you know, you're exactly right. You know, the lessons you do while you're in the word can really shape you if you allow it to. And I think just being in the Word just helps you, you know, as you've said, you know, it helps you not just deliver your lessons better necessarily, but I guess it does help you in terms of just having material. It helps you because, you know, you're not looking up, you're not Googling, okay, what would be a good lesson? You're like, no, I read this a week ago, or, you know, ChatGPT. You know, I read this a week ago. I read this a week ago. And then I had this experience, you know, with a friend or this interaction with a classmate. And this is really, you know, what's on my mind, what's on my heart. And usually, like, if it's on your mind and heart, then it's probably on someone else's too, is what I've come to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so we both mentioned our respective lovely fiancés here earlier. So those are definitely certainly two people that you and I both find God in. But there's many other people that, you know, they're number one, right? But, you know, there's other people that you find God in. And I think that can be so helpful in our faith to you know, that's what the church is all about, right? To spur one another on, to really encourage those good works. So how can it be helpful to find God in other people?
Yeah. Well, Tyler, we've actually mentioned it several times now, but I talked a little bit about prayer and how that can foster and spark seeing God in different ways in our lives. I'm talking about being in the Word, and I mentioned it earlier, but another great way to find God, and especially find God in other people, is simply by serving. What is one word, Tyler, that during your year of service to state office was always, I guess I just said it, your year of what? Service, right? Mm. It's all about serving, and it's all about being with other people, going out and being with those FFA members, serving them, dedicating that year that you have to going out and serving those members. And what my favorite thing about state office was not only serving, but it was developing those relationships while you serve, not only with your officer team, but with the members and with all the state staff and everybody involved in that whole process. That was my favorite. And I think something really cool that we often forget about just in our walks of faith and our walks of life is that everybody has some form of a relationship with God. I don't always look at people and think, hey, they have some form of a relationship with God. I wonder what that's like for them. Because really, truly, we only know what a relationship with God looks like because of our own. And what we read about in the Bible, but we don't always think about other people today, right now, are thinking, how can I become closer to God? How can I find others around me who want to become closer to God with me? And I think it was Bill Cortez that said this. Do you remember the MFI acronym?
No, I don't. It's not Yoga Whippy.
It's kind of like Yoga Whippy. You only get out what you put in. MMFI, I think, is a close second to Yoga Whippy. And it stands for Make Me Feel Important. And I think when it comes to finding God in other people and remembering that they also have a relationship with God, that they're trying to foster and spark so that they can see God in ways, we've got to do what we can to serve that individual and to work with that individual to serve other people. And so really what it comes down to, Tyler, is acts of service. We've got to, as Christians, constantly be looking for ways to serve people constantly, time and time again in the Bible. What Paul says in his letter is, remember the poor, remember to serve other people, remember to go out, get out of your comfort zones and serve others. Let God work through you to bring that good news to them. And so really by serving with other people, you begin to see God in those people. The way they work in their interactions, like for us, I'm sure, whenever you're serving with Lindsay, I bet you feel the closest to God in that moment whenever you guys are serving together. And that's so true. It's simply by serving, you know, not only with your significant other, but with fellow Christians, even people who aren't Christians. I bet if you go out and you do a service project with them, or you help them foster a relationship with someone where they can serve together, you will see God in that moment. And it will be very evident to you that God is working through you and through those people to let other people see him as well. So that's what I would simply say. I talked about prayer. I talked about being in your Bible. But a third way that we can all work to see God in our everyday life is simply by serving with other people.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think because like when you're serving, like when you're like serving authentically, you're not thinking about your needs. You know, you're not thinking about yourself. Like our world in relationships tells you, have your needs met, right? Like if your needs, air quotes, like if they're not being met, then, you know, that relationship is toxic. You got to cut people off. You know, it's all about your needs. Well, when you're serving someone or you're serving with someone, guess who you're not thinking about? You're not thinking about yourself, right? And Paul talks about that in Philippians 2, which is basically, he says, count others as more significant than yourselves. And he says, have this mind among you, which is yours in Jesus Christ, right? Because why? He goes on to say, that's who Jesus was, right? Like God, Jesus was God in flesh. And yet he said, hey, my needs don't have to be met. You know, like I'm going to go be a servant. And that is so powerful. And when you're serving with others, like, you know, you've been on service projects, you've been, you know, on mission trip type, you know, type things, you really do see the most true, pure form of people. And I've heard and I've seen this like in my life, and I'm sure you have too, like the happiest people in the world, they're not the ones that set the most boundaries. They're not the ones that, you know, are living for themselves all the time. They're the ones that served. They're the ones that are always doing things for other people. Like two of the most joy-filled people that I know, a couple, they are in their knees and they go to every single high school football game, every single junior high football game. It's because they like, you know, because they like football, because they want to be there for the kids.
Right.
They want to be there. And that's volleyball, basketball. They're always doing for other people. They're having people over to their homes. They're, you know, making meals for people. If anytime I would come over just to deliver something, I would find myself there, you know, 2 hours after because I'm drinking coffee with them, right? They're interruptible. Yeah. They're service oriented. And I'm like, man, I hope to get to that point in my faith one day. Like that would be something to strive to and to strive for. You really see the most pure Christ-like form of people when you see them serving. And when you're serving with them, because ultimately that's who Jesus was at his purest form. He was God in flesh and he could have had, you know, this amazing, wealthy life. We're talking about Matthew on Wednesday nights, just going through the book. And even at his birth, you know, and his genealogy, the point is, you know, I've said this the last couple of weeks, is that Jesus could have been born into a wealthy family, you know, with generational wealth, whatever it is, but he didn't. Like, even from his birth, even from his genealogy, Jesus was a humble servant. I don't know how I got off of that, but, you know, you think Jesus, you think servant. And when we're serving, we're being like Jesus. And like, isn't that the point? You know, like, isn't that who we want to ultimately be like?
Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus has given many different titles throughout the Bible, right? I saw there was always a poster growing up in our youth room of all the different names that he's given throughout the Bible. There's like 112 or something, probably more than that. I don't remember the exact number. But a lot of them, and the one that comes to mind right now is the great physician, right? Jesus, he came to heal the sick. And he came to serve other people. And I think that really hits home on what we just mentioned, is that we can see him at work in us the most And we can see him the most evident in our lives when we're striving to be like him in that area, when we're serving others, especially those who need help.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And just tying it all back into the, you know, the conversation, service is a huge area where we can find God in our day-to-day lives. And we see that in other people. And hopefully, I don't know if this makes sense or, you know, how this works, but, you know, we see it in ourselves. If we serve someone, not to be, you know, not to pat ourselves on the back, but to say, hey, that was a Christ-like thing. Like, I don't think it's wrong to acknowledge that you just did something that looks like Jesus, you know, to say, hey, I pray that, you know, someone just saw God in me, right? Obviously that's up to, you know, the other person, you know, to see or not, but hopefully we're living like that through our service and through other things like that. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, Caleb. But last question here, and we've kind of danced around it. So just as we close, if you have anything else, what are some practical ways we can find God in our day-to-day lives?
Well, yeah, you're right. We kind of have danced around this one a little bit, haven't we? But as far as getting it, just practical, simple applications that we can take. You know, reading your Bible more, service, prayer, those are all big picture ticket items, right? We want to increase all those areas. So the question is, what baby steps can we take to kind of spark those? What baby steps can we take to get those up? And something that really helps me is simply having a good sleep schedule. And this sounds crazy and it sounds super simplistic, but man, Tyler, if you go to bed at a decent hour and you get up at a decent hour, which can be kind of hard for college students, I mean, you know, that can be kind of hard to do sometimes, but simply getting up earlier, 30 minutes earlier than you would have, starting your day off with a prayer, centering your mind around how God can work through you today. Ask yourself that question every day. When you get up and you start off by saying, take me today, work through me to let others see you. If we start our day off by centering our mind around that, man, I promise you, the rest of your day is going to be a whole lot better. It's kind of like when you get up and exercise in the morning, right? You're awake, you feel good, you exercise, you shower, you drink your coffee. That makes you feel good physically, but spiritually to do that, I think what that looks like is simply getting up a little bit earlier than you would and asking God to work through you every single day. It helps you center your mind. It helps you get in the right mindset to complete the rest of your day with a Christ-centered mindset. And then therefore, we already talked about if you have a Christ-centered mindset and you're looking for him, you're going to see him. So I think that is one simple way. Just waking up a little bit earlier. It sounds super simple, but it's a little bit tricky to do consistently, especially. But what comes down to it is we've got to do it. And then another thing that I heard last night is that in relationships, Tyler, and you can agree to this or not, but you probably will, you've got to make some sacrifices, right? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
And I think we oftentimes forget that in our relationship with God, is that as Christians, we should be willing to make sacrifices for God if we want to have a good relationship with him. And so on the sleep schedule deal, man, maybe you might be missing out on 30 minutes of fun somewhere where you could, you know, be like, if we lived in the same town, I'd imagine I would probably be at your house pretty late some nights talking about random coffee shop ideas. But maybe what that looks like is sacrificing 30 minutes of that time so that you can go home a little bit earlier, so that you can get up the next day and center your mind where it needs to be in order for God to work through you so that you can see him every day. Now, that can look like a lot of different things for a lot of different people, but in order to see God and have that relationship with him, it's inevitable that we're going to make some sacrifices, and that's okay. That's what a healthy relationship looks like, is making sacrifices for the other person. And we oftentimes forget that when it comes to our relationship with God. We think, oh, God, you know, he's just going to work through me no matter what. I'm going to be just fine regardless of what I do. But that's not true. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. And that is just A-okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you said a lot of good stuff there. And I love the idea of sacrificing. And we don't always think about you know, sacrificing for God. Because I think sometimes we stop at the fact that God, you know, had made the sacrifice for us. He sent his son, and that was the sacrifice. But no, our job, I mean, you can argue that, you know, dying to yourself daily, that is a sacrifice. It reminds me, I've been thinking about this passage a lot in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, the love passage.
Yeah.
It says, love does not insist on its own way. It endures all things. It believes all things, right? It does not insist on its own way. Like, you know what that means? That means I don't always have to be right. You know, I don't always have to have it my way. You know, I don't always have to have, you know, the meal exactly how I want it to be. I don't have to, you know, fill in the blank, right? It does not have to be my way all the time. If if you're at someone's house, you know, and this is a silly example, but if you're at someone's house and, you know, they keep the AC at a different temperature than you want it to be, that means, you know, I don't say anything. You don't say anything, right? You just let it happen because it's their house, you know? Like, I don't have to have my way. I'm a guest, you know? And that's what, you know, that's a simple example, but, you know, it doesn't insist on its own way. I don't always have to be right. I don't always have to be in control, you know, and that's on, you know, people relationships, but in God relationships, you know, that's saying, man, maybe I really want to, you know, go off on this person, get angry at this person. Maybe I want to just stay home and have a, you know, a me day and just do nothing and watch OSU lose again. Maybe that's all I want to do, you know, but maybe there's something, or not that we want to see OSU lose, but you know, it's just how the season's going. But, but you know, maybe there's someone that we could go serve with this extra time that we have. That hits me, right? I mean, that's not what I want to do, but that's sacrificing. And so those are some ways that we can see God in our everyday lives.
Absolutely. If we had to break it down to 4 points, I think it would be, you know, be in your Bible more, pray, serve others, and then obviously the last one we just touched on, make some sacrifices to make those three things happen. I think those would be 4 good ways. There's a lot of little simple ways, like waking up a little earlier, that you can break those down into. But overall, I would say those are 4 really solid ways. On that last bit, one more thing to add. I know we're already a little long, but as our conversations tend to be, that's okay. And there's a guy at the UC. His name is Daryl. And I want to brag on Daryl for a second, because this is just another simple way that we can make little sacrifices to serve other people. Daryl's been at the UC for a while. And one thing he always does is, no matter what, the meal function, what we're having, anything like that, if there's food involved, Daryl is always the last person to eat food. And, you know, that's one really simple little way, but it's consistent and it really sticks out to me. Now, sometimes that works out not so good for Daryl and there's not a lot of food left. Sometimes it works out really good for Daryl because he's the last person and he can pile on as many chicken nuggets as he wants to.
Yeah, he's batting cleanup, you know.
It's like when you know you're not going to eat all the food at the dinner table. You slip it to your dad. Finish this, you know. Human garbage.
The dad tax.
The dad tax.
The first kind of taxes you pay in your life.
That's right. That's right. But that's a simple way, and it's a little way that, you know, doesn't always catch people's attention. It's not flashy. You know, it's not going and building anyone a house or raking all the leaves in their yard. But it's a simple little way, kind of like holding the door open for someone that you can put yourself aside. You can let others go first. And I think the more that we do those little things, we get back to the basics, you know, the more we will see God very evident in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, yeah, that's really good. Man, Caleb, great conversation as always. And
yes, sir.
I wish you all the best. Good luck next week during finals week, and
thanks,
hope
man.
You have a great Christmas and a great Christmas break, man.
You as well. Hey, and you have a happy birthday.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hope it goes well. All right, man. Talk to you later. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. See you, Tyler.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.